Unium is the subscription management hub for B2B SaaS companies. Whether you're looking to expand to new markets, experimenting with pricing models, or simply want a streamlined quote-to-cash process, Unium got your back. On top of that, Unium Insights provides the SaaS metrics you need for reporting to the board and for future company valuation. It gives you the key figures needed to drive your business forward and take strategic decisions. Unium. We help SaaS companies manage their B2B customer subscriptions.
Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRate.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from the German-speaking startup scene, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Today, I'm kind of substituting for Johanna because she's pretty busy with building up her own business and she also caught Corona. So I'm filling in for her. And I have Miriam here with me, who already won the award of most interview attempts, but we'll soon get to that. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here today. And today we were talking about a great topic, I guess.
Yes. Thing is, first, I'll stick to all of the notes from Johanna. So basically, this is not my interview. This is her show. And secondly, the more interesting stuff is you already tried with Johanna before she became sick. We had some technical difficulties and we concluded when we started this interview, it's your sixth attempt at interviewing with us. So thank you for sticking with us.
Getting the award, right? So...
Thumbs up award.
Yeah.
Tell us about your Trilli. It's called Trilli.co or Trillico. What's the right pronunciation?
Trillico, but the shorter form is definitely Trilla. So we say always like drop a man a Trilla. So
Trilla.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Trillico.
So it's a platform, right? Can you tell us a little bit about how your platform is helping businesses to become more sustainable? What is Trilico doing to reach the sustainable development goals? So just the first very broad questions, and now you can talk whatever you want to.
Of course. So I'm just like, I mean, to my person, so I'm the co-founder of Trilico, taking care of the operations, but also like business development. And we all know right now that currently like companies are struggling to comply with the new EU regulations to reduce the carbon dioxide. I mean, we all also know that we have to reach like climate neutrality by 2050 and 55% mm-hmm. of the emissions has to be reduced by 55% by 2030. So there is like a high demand and urgency in the market to get us to net zero. And so these challenges we are addressing with Trilico by our software platform, which you just like mentioned, Joe. And it's a mm-hmm. IoT sustainability platform. IoT stands for Internet of Things, which we integrate in companies mostly focusing on manufacturing. So in the sector of mm-hmm. manufacturing and industry, implement into companies and then to help companies to measure, understand and transform their sustainable footprint. And how we do this is that we are first reaching data transparency, because when you know what's going on in your company, then you can act. And for that, we are integrating the platform and connecting the shop floor data, so all the sensors and so on, with the rest of the company, so the data from the ERP system, and bring the data combined on one platform. And then you have data transparency, and then you understand the data, which we visualize in 3D, like digital twins, and then also in dashboards. And then, of course, mm-hmm. we give also a company a tool set, like digital solutions as energy management, where we implement solutions within the company to reduce the carbon dioxide effectively. So this is like mm-hmm. what we do in a nutshell.
For understanding of our audience and also me, of course, when we talk about IoT, you usually think home appliances, coffee machines, smart speakers, whatever. In industrial terms, what are we talking about here about IoT?
I mean, like, IoT is, of course, like, the connection with, like, or the talking, like, from device to device, right? I mean, it's the same, like, in the manufacturing. I mean, you can combine it with, like, the home stuff you have at home. But of course, when we're talking about IoT sensors, which are, like, implemented, for example, on the machinery to track, like, the vibration, to track, like, how many goods are a machine is, not producing, for example, or what kind of, like, you know, when stuff is, like, going through the machines. So it's counting. So, I mean, like, IoT sensors, they're having, like, so many, advantages or so much stuff to take care of. So it's, like, really broad. Or, for example, like, sensor to detect, like, to give us information about water quality. And then it's getting sent to the platform. So it's very, very broad and diverse. But of course, like, Internet of Things, right? It's always the connection or, like, the communication between device and device.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is now you help companies, mostly industrial B2B companies, to really get their data transparent. And how is that helping towards to reach the sustainable development goals?
I mean, like, nowadays companies have a lot of, like, historical data stored. So we have, like, one customer, for example, who was, like, saying that they have, it's a very big, it's a large enterprise, they're having historical data stored for 15 years. And not really, nobody's, like, you know, using the data. It's just laying in the cloud and it's, like, burning costs and so on. So we're giving, like, also companies a platform to really, like, understand the data, because there it was the problem that everyone knows that data is existing. Nobody knows to access it. Nobody really has the skill to understand the data. So to, like, visualize data and that everyone within the company is, like, understanding, because it's, like, target group oriented, is understanding what is, like, happening in the company. So this is, like, a great use, because then when you know your data and you know what's going on in the company, then you can do, like, reduction, right? But also because we're tracking scope 1, 2, 3, and we're not doing, like, just a software platform where companies can upload the data. I mean, everything is, like, real time, real life connected with the platform, though. So you see in the dashboard what is happening right now. And then it's, like, getting calculated automatically into the carbon footprint. Then you can, like, use this for your ESG reporting, right? To really comply with the EU regulations, because otherwise, if you do not comply, then you have to pay millions, especially, like, these, like, large, big enterprises. So this is what we do in the first step. And then the second step is, of course, when we know which processes we have to, or we can optimize, or which production facilities we can optimize, because we see it real life in the dashboards and in 3D, then, of course, we can, like, implement process optimization actions. Because for us, it's, like, very easy, because we are using a no-code platform or, like, energy management to really reduce the carbon dioxide effectively.
I was wondering, maybe going towards the same things you talked here, when you first visualize the data for your clients, and have you ever had the experience when you're sitting there in the boardroom, you show the client the data, and CEO stands up, "We're doing what?"
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the most interesting part is, like, also for a CFO, right? We're just like, okay, wait, why do we have such, like, electricity costs? I mean, like, nowadays it's, like, also, like, from the other conflict, but, like, before that it was just like, okay, this is why, you know, maybe it's because the machine is not working, like, properly, or it needs, like, maintenance. So you like, can really understand what's going on or why you have, like, so much, like, high cost positions there. But also, like, for example, for a shop floor member or something, it's really useful to understand everything. But yeah, 100%. So I think it's good to have this transparency also for decision makers to really understand why they're having so much cost. And
For the people who don't know what it means, can you explain the circular economy?
Yeah. So, I mean, like for us, we are believing in the circular business transition, as it's called, just because when we implement the sensor to get like the data, for example, I mean, we're just like doing software, but we have hardware partners. We're getting the data, we're visualizing the data, and then you're doing like carbon dioxide actions, and you know, and then maybe you implement something more or another circular action, and then you have optimize. Same with like a, for example, like a marketing campaign, right? You always have to optimize your processes and getting like better and better. And for us, like circular economy, I mean, circular economy is makes you think differently. So it's like a regenerative business, like a model. Like a generative nothing where nothing is thrown out. So we're always like saying it in nature, like waste of one is food for the other. So that you are not, for example, like a material is produced from the take, make, dispose, right? We have to shift to reuse, reduce, recycle, and rethink. Just like that we don't drop it away, for example, like a material, that everything is getting like recycled. And we are also focusing on the not the tangible ones, because when you think about circular products, you always think about like something like you can touch, like something physical. But it's the same, like with, for example, like I don't know, like electricity or like data. And I mean, there is no such thing like then circular economy without digitalization, right? Because you have to digitalize to really have a clear focus and be super clear on your processes and so on. So this is why you always have to optimize digitally. But it's like, you know, nothing is linear. Everything is circular and nothing can grow forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is what we think about circular economy when speaking about it.
Mm-hmm. You work a lot with industry clients. How much knowledge about the respective industry do you actually need?
I mean, like the people inside, you mean, right? So, I mean, they just have to, for example, when focusing on the process, they just have to have like knowledge about the processes they want to build or what do they want to optimize, for example, before they're having the data transparency, right? But it's not like you don't need so much industry knowledge to really, use the platform, to implement the platform, because like implementing the platform itself takes like just like a couple of weeks to make it like 100% functioning. So then we just like onboard these people and give or share our knowledge with them and then like train them up to really like use the platform. Does it answer your question?
Yes. We just talked about the implementation. Do you feel responsible for the implementation?
Sure, 100%. I mean, we're not leaving like everyone alone. We always like take our partners and our clients on our hands and just like say, okay, this is a status quo. This is our goals. And if you want to reach like this percentage of carbon dioxide reduction or this percentage of electricity decrease or efficiency increase, then of course this is what we can do. And this is what we're doing with you in like stepwise, right? So we're not saying, hey, here's the platform and have fun. So, and then we're always like, you know, 24/7 being available for our customers if they need any help or if they also want to implement like other actions. We're pretty flexible in that way.
And we've been talking about no code and it's a data platform. And at first, it may make no sense for our audience, but actually my understanding is that you then can push, pull, drag and drop together analyses where you don't need to code, for example, ABAP or MySQL, and basically can get all the analyses together you really want to do in this company, which I do believe if somebody is here from controlling, it either gives them really spike, oh, I want to use this, or a heart attack, oh my God, they want more data, more analyzer from that. Oh my God. what is the most frequent answer you get from all the people who are in charge in really pulling this data together and make the company manageable? Is it, oh, we can do so much more? Oh no, they want to have even more. What is the usual reply you get there?
I mean, like, for no code, it's like really easy, right? As you mentioned, you don't have to code. You can just like plug and play, I would like say. And also in terms, like, for example, when starting with the combination of like putting like sensors or connecting sensors with the platform, you don't need to have like, you know, put in like a long code sentence that you really want to connect the sensor. You can just like, you know, make it like very quick and efficient in 5 minutes and connect this to a platform. And this is like where no code is coming in, right? So the whole connection part, but also in the third step, we also like, this is like actually the business goal we have, in future, that we make company, like give companies a platform that they, you know, self can create their application process and workflows without writing any code. And then when we teach them in a couple of weeks how to do it without ourselves, I mean, we're all always there in the back. Then it's like very powerful, right? Because they're not dependent anymore of like software engineers or something. Just like normal people who also do not have an IT knowledge can like really use it when they know, what they want to build. So they visualize this in their head and they know, okay, this is how it looks. And then they just like, you know, plug and play and can connect it. So then the future of like software development is coming in. And this is like definitely no code because we have IT skill shortage out there, right? Everything is like very expensive and the market is really volatile. So everyone has to innovate. And when you have like great tools as like, or like a toolbox as our no code, software platform is, then of course can I play around and can digitalize processes like more effectively and more efficient, right? And then you save a lot of time and money, I would say.
I see. According to your LinkedIn profile, you have founded different tech ventures. Can you a little bit explain your startup journey?
100%. So it was like starting with a 14 programming next to school because like high school was always boring. Hope somebody find their self back there. So then I was like programming like websites for friends, got my first freelancer job and so on. Had then the opportunity to meet somebody from the Silicon Valley, did a campaign there, and like also like websiting for a Silicon Valley investment firm. It was really, really fun. And so then I was actually like in the field of, I think this one is not on my LinkedIn. So in the field of nanotechnology. So in the space of aerospace and space, working for the new European rocket, did a project there. And there actually like met my other co-founder, Hans. So then we are, founded together with like, Hayat, my third co-founder, Trileco. And this is how the journey like evolved. But like, I'm very interested in deep tech and all the bright innovation companies who make the world a better place, I would say, or, you know, do something for climate. And this was also the last venture where we were on the material surface treatment to develop like a new process that we do not need coating anymore because coating is like peeling off and going into the environment. So a lot of environmental aspects and ventures, but this is also definitely where my passion is.
You just talked about like surface coating and a data platform. I mean, in essence, it serves the same goals, but what inspired you to found Trileco and how did you end up there?
That is a very good question, Joe. So, I mean, I was like pretty inspired starting from like back to my childhood because like, I think one of my idols is definitely my grandpa who always were taking me like to machinery and his like workplace were explaining everything to me as a little kid. And like at this time, I also like found this already like very fascinating, right? So to play around with this like big things or like, you know, that these things are moving. Mm-hmm. So this was like actually like catch me a lot. And, I'm always like very interested into things who are physical there. You know, and like this is why we focus like so much on manufacturing. And this is why I found like a nanotechnology, in the space and aerospace sector is like so interesting because you can like really see what you're doing. And, you know, and you have like this, effectiveness of this like physical goods, but also like on the whole, whole structure, because you can see what you can do, right? So this like definitely inspired me. And also when I was like starting very young, like into software. So it was like, or like websiting, it was like something similar as software, like in the digital space. And then everything like coming together in like nanotechnology, and then meeting like Hans was like definitely the good point to start Trileco. And so I actually like got into that.
Mm-hmm. What do you actually love about tech?
Data. I love data.
That totally makes sense for your current job. And what is the best thing about your current job, except for you can work basically all the time and you can take off time almost as you want, right?
Taking time off, of course, whenever I want. But it's not happening. So, but like working wherever I want is definitely correct. Also, that it's like very fast, like scalable, because it's software, right? Have a high profit margin, I would like say, in that terms. Second is definitely, or like actually, it's the first one. It's like the impact. So that you do something for the world, you do something for our future. I was growing up in a small village, so nature was always like, always like the best place to be in, and to protect like the environment, also with the combination of the most carbon dioxide bringer, which is like the manufacturing, transportation or utility industry. So this is like very, very good for me. So this is why I'm very passionate about it, because I can, I'm using like the technology which we have and make like really change happening in this like big industrial farms. So this is like very, very what is enticing. And also like, of course, like working together with like a multinational team, a diverse team. We are around the world, I would like say. So we have people in Asia, we have people in Europe. I just like got my new intern today. She's from Italy. So it's like very, diverse, but this is like good, because diverse people are always like bringing so much knowledge and so much great ideas to exchange. So, and other perspective, right? So that's like the best, to answer your question about the job or about the business I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And what do you hate?
What I'm hating? Corona. Like still, we have like offices in Spain, Finland, and Germany, but nobody is at the office, because mm-hmm. everyone is so, have the convenience, like me included, also to save a lot of time, like from traveling part. But I think it's like very important to always like be maybe like for 1 or 2 days at the office to really, see somebody physical. But as I said, like a very international team, that would not happen to fly everyone in one time a week. And also I don't want, because we are a sustainable startup, right? So our sustainable company footprint is very, very small, which is good right now.
Your biggest failures and learnings from them.
My biggest learnings and failures.
Failures, and what did you learn from them? You can also say it like that.
So what do we have? We have definitely, as you also said at the beginning, to really take care of yourself, like take time to relax, to really recharge. Because still, two years ago, I was just like working 24/7. And I found like quite fast that this is like not working out, also not for like my body or not for my healthy lifestyle. So it's very essential as entrepreneur or as founder to bring time to relax, or also to meet friends or something like this, right? Mm-hmm. So this was like one of, I would say, meant like healthy, from the healthy focus, I'm a biggest failure there. Also choose wisely with your right co-founders, because I had good learnings there. So really, work with them and then like decide to found a startup with them together. Then like networking is definitely essential. And like digital networking is not so good as physical networking. So build like really valuable relationships over time. And and just like, you know, determine where you want to be. What is your purpose? What is your purpose with the venture? Do market research and so on to really prove that what you're doing is really what the market demands, right? So take a lot of time in researching. So this is what I would also like give to founders or potential founders who want to start a startup.
Mm-hmm. Who or what was your biggest support during your journey?
Definitely. I mean, just like single people, right? So I can't say this person because like every single person, except like of Hans, which I'm like know now a couple of years, like Hans is my co-founder. So he was like, he's a great accountability partner, but also like in terms of like knowledge sharing, we mentor each other so much, like vice versa. Also when he's like, I think, I don't want to say anything. I think he's 36 years older than me. So it's like quite a huge age difference what we have. But I'm learning so much from him. He's learning so much from me. So it's like a great synergies which we have, or a great exchange. And then, of course, like family and friends, right? So it's very, very good always to have accountability groups of like friends who are in the same sector or at the same stage or a little bit more further away, to just like, you know, get feedback in and to mentor ourselves, like vice versa, I would like say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is your personal definition of success?
To be successful in every five life sections, I would like say. To be happy, like first of all, but also, I mean, career is just like one, right? Then you have like, I mean, of course you have family, you have health, you have career, you have finances. And then I have like the fifth, what I have or determined is adventure. So everything is, you know, influenced by each other. When you totally, I don't know, unhealthy and your health is not good, then of course it also affects the other life sections. So for me, it's like the ultimate goal to be successful, to be happy and determined like in every of the five life sections and reach my goals, because I love to set goals and I love to, you know, work towards them. And it's a journey, not a sprint, as we all know, right?
Mm-hmm. A marathon. What are some of your personal goals there?
My personal goals. Ooh. I mean, now we're from Tuleco Rise, we're going into seed financing of 5 to 6 million. So this is like definitely what our goal is, because we want to grow and we want to support. It's not money. It's money to deliver, I would like say, because we have a lot of demand out there and we have a good timing. And so then definitely also to, for example, like the family aspect, do like every 3 months, like brunches with my friends to just like, you know, catch up to learn from each other and like exchange like great ideas. Then maybe like traveling to Cape Town, because like a big entrepreneurial community is always like there in January, where you can't live in Berlin anymore because it's so dark. So just like getting like new influences in. So kind of like these goals we have, but mm-hmm. The biggest is like definitely to grow with Tuleco. And there's also definitely the strong focus on.
I wasn't aware of a big entrepreneurial community in Cape Town, but I do know South Africa is like always in our top 10 of downloading countries.
Ooh.
And yeah, it starts to make more and more sense. A big high five to South Africa here. And one of the last few questions, what advice can you give to others who want to start a business?
Definitely, you know, proof of market, as I was like saying, do your research before. I know it's like definitely the most boring part, but it's so essential to really get to know your customer and do your personas and your customer journey and, you know, speak with people if they like the product, if they have other ideas. So then second is like definitely get out there. Like mm-hmm. Go networking and also like talk about your idea. Like some people are always like thinking, oh, maybe I don't tell the same idea to other people. Otherwise they can like steal it, bloody blue. But who is like really, you know, doing and executing your idea is like the other question here. So get out there, tell what you do, because then then opportunities are rolling in and then people want to help you or have maybe like other input. And then definitely also, you know, go on LinkedIn, network with the people, find also like other people in your space, but also people who are already started the business, who maybe like want to start a business on the same position as you, so that you can like catch up, update each other, help each other out with the network and really support each other. So this is like, I think, the most essential. Yeah. And start like, you know, build relationships with investors like early on. Because it takes time. And I think it's always like, good to, you know, inform them where you stand right now, what are your goals, what do you want to reach, and like always like catch up in between. Because then it's like it's more easier to raise money at the end if you want to raise money.
Now I have gotten from Johanna a last few questions called fast and serious. Just very short answers. Friday night, tech or techno?
Techno.
Pitch event in Palo Alto or Berlin?
Palo Alto, definitely.
Currywurst or plant-based burger?
Plant-based burger, because I'm a vegetarian / vegan.
Which animal were you at the beginning of your startup journey?
A wolf.
Which animal are you now?
A dragon.
If you could travel at any time in the past, where would you go?
I think like the time I'm such a freak also like was in school. I think Roman Empire. So I think it was like 70, how do you call it? At Domini, like after Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So where the Roman Empire was on the highest, because I was like such a Latin freak. But yeah, go on.
I don't speak Latin, but I would have loved to sit down and have a chat with Marcus Aurelius. What is your apocalypse plan?
Just like have a nice dinner with my friends and wait.
Oh, which clothes do you own the longest?
I think it's just like trousers I got, you know, given by like a friend to go like on a techno festival. So this is like it's a very old trousers, but I love it. So it's always good to have.
What was the last thing you bought and why?
It was like actually like a coat. Because it's getting colder and I didn't have like a long jacket, but I'm going to send the coat away because it doesn't fit, but I bought it. So
if you would have one free wish, like from a genie, what would you use it for?
I want to like build up like a world, investment fund, like a very, very big investment fund who is investing then in very innovative startups and ideas to really, define the future. Very in.
Online, you would wish for a pot of money. A big pot.
Yeah, definitely. Because I love math, I love investing, and I love innovation and shaping future. So that would be like actually one of my goals in future.
Great. That's really awesome. All the questions been answered. Thank you very much, Miriam. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for making it here today after all the attempts. And actually, what the audience didn't notice, you got kicked out and I had to wait for you to come back. So really horrible tech experience, but thank you for making it. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joe. And I mean, like, we are a tech startup, right? So we fix these kind of problems. just message us. No, it was a great experience. And really, thank you for inviting us, for inviting me. And we see each other definitely soon. And thank you for listening.
Hope so. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.